Sow for yourselves justice. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, till God may come and rain righteousness upon you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm really excited about our potluck meal today. As Pastor Betty or my husband will tell you, I like to eat. But today I am especially looking forward to seeing the creative and delicious dishes that many of you have prepared, not just because by 11 o'clock I start getting hungry, but because whenever we come together as a church to share a meal, to break bread together and enjoy table fellowship, our sense of community becomes even stronger. And with today's focus on Earth Day, I'm also looking forward to getting some new ideas for dishes and meals that honor the Earth in their choice of ingredients. Because every time we sit down for a meal, one way or another, we are supporting a food system that has ripple effects throughout the whole of God's creation. Speaking of Earth Day, I don't think it's a coincidence that it happens during springtime for the Northern Hemisphere. What a glorious day we have here in Colorado. The earth is waking from its winter slumber. We have flowers blooming, trees in full leaf. The bees have begun to make their rounds, and the birds are building their nests once more. It is an exciting time. It's planting season. Both literally and metaphorically. It's planting season in our gardens, but also in our church and in our world. Planting season is an exciting time because you've begun to make some initial plans and you take the first few steps towards realizing them. You're full of hope, but there are still no guarantees. Here in Colorado, there's not a huge window of time to plant many of the vegetables that we grow in our gardens. Some of them have gone in already because they can withstand the possible light frost we might still get. Others have to wait still a couple more weeks until we're sure that it won't freeze again. But this planting season is right in between when the last frost ends and before it gets too hot, because there are some seeds that won't germinate, won't break open and bring forth their life if it's above 75 degrees. Of course, the planting itself isn't really the first step, as any of you who are gardeners will know. There is lots of work that's required before you put those seeds in the ground. You have to break up the earth to let the air and moisture in. You have to make sure there are adequate nutrients in the soil, whether through compost or other fertilizers. I recently learned about soil structure for the first time. Apparently, at least in some parts of the country, farmers have to pay attention to beyond the texture of the soil. They have to notice during winter whether there have been enough deep freezes and subsequent thaws to create the cracks and crevices in the soil that are necessary for the water to be able to seep all the way down to the subsoil. And as you may guess, global climate change is making some of those patterns of freezing and thawing less predictable than they used to be. We were not alone in having one of the warmest March months on record this year. You know, I never thought that much about soil before I started trying to grow things in it. I knew there were different textures that were possible. Soil could be sandy or clay, it could be rocky. But if you had ever asked me up until a couple years ago whether soil was alive or dead, I probably would have gone with the not alive option. I mean, it's not animal or vegetable, so it's got to be mineral, right? But it turns out there are billions of living organisms in just a handful of soil. That's an amazing thing to me. And it may seem like just a curious piece of trivia, but if we're not aware of that, if we are ignorant of the great diversity of the forms that life takes in our world, then we run the risk that we will fail to recognize the consequences of our actions for the whole of creation. It is this diversity of life that makes the soil capable of holding and bringing forth more life generation after generation. This life in the soil is not obvious, and yet it is essential for other life to be able to take root and grow. And I wonder in how many places in our planet we are at risk of actually killing the soil until it is dead through the use of pesticides or chemical fertilizers or other practices that focus more on crop yields and keeping food prices low than environmental sustainability. I read a story recently in a magazine about a clothing designer who had never really given much thought to the difference between conventionally grown cotton and organic until she took a job with the company Patagonia. And she went on a work-sponsored field trip to see two different farms. She and her colleagues rode a bus through conventional cotton fields, and she noticed there that other than the cotton itself, there were no signs of life for as far as the eye could see. Just acre after acre of cotton and stillness. And although the employees remained inside the bus on this trip, pregnant women were not allowed to take part because the toxic chemicals they would encounter in the air could be harmful to the life growing inside them. In contrast, when the group moved on to a family-owned organic farm, the place was humming with all kinds of life. There were a variety of crops being grown next to each other, and those crops were tended by birds and bees. There were children playing and goats munching the grass around the farmhouse. And the impact of those two scenes, the stark differences between them, was enough to change this one designer's worldview. And she set out to start her own business that was dedicated to making clothes that were using only organic and sustainably grown fibers. Sow for yourselves justice. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till God may come and rain righteousness upon you. In this planting season, I wonder what quality of life are we cultivating for ourselves, our families, for our church and community, for our planet? Is it a conventional, stilted, limited life? Or is it life abundant and lasting, sustainable and just, participatory and healing? We are called to be gardeners of Eden and harvesters of hope. I think those are just lovely phrases. I didn't make them up. I'm just borrowing them. But as pretty as those images are, living them out is not that easy. To be gardeners of Eden. Like any meaningful act of love, it requires sacrifice. We will have to make hard choices, to give up things that we enjoy or take for granted, to dedicate what we value to God's purposes, to work harder for what we believe matters most. If we truly seek to follow Jesus and to sow justice for the earth, we must be willing to give our whole selves to the work of God as Jesus did. In this Easter season, it can be tempting to focus on the joy of resurrection and to forget the terrible loss that made it possible. Now, the Bible is full of planting and farming images, but I especially love this one from the Gospel of John. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now, as we seek to sow justice for the earth, the options before us are not always black and white. There are many who would argue that local or organic or small family farms are not a realistic option when it comes to feeding our growing population in the world. The resources available in so many countries require huge harvests of staple crops at minimal cost just to keep people from starving to death. And even in this country, low-income families find that they get more calories per dollar from processed foods, high in sugar, fat, and artificial ingredients, than they would from healthful foods like whole grains, lean meats, and fruits and vegetables. Paying extra for the organic label is usually out of the question. But I still have to ask, given these limited and imperfect options, do we accept what is conventional and convenient, or do we aim for something better, not just for ourselves, but for our planet? I confess I am still in process myself. I have trained myself for so long to go for the cheapest option in the store. It takes a few more times thinking it through to remember that there are other values that I want to honor in my grocery shopping. Buying all my produce from the organic section is still a little ways away for me. Maybe for you, maybe you're already there. But I think that making those choices just for ourselves is not quite enough. We also have to seek to change the system that makes high fructose corn syrup so much cheaper than organic potatoes or spinach. We have to keep an eye on the big picture if we are to sow justice for the earth. When we analyze the agricultural system that produces our food today, we must evaluate it with Christ-like eyes and find spirit-filled solutions that bring God's reign on earth as well as heaven. There are so many factors at stake, and I don't want to delay our meal too much longer by going through all the facts and figures. But if you want to know more about the impact of farming practices on the land, on farm workers, on local economies, and on our health, I have many resources that I'd be glad to share with you. To be gardeners of Eden is to seek no less than the healing, redemption, and flourishing of all creation. Worship is not just what we do here on Sunday mornings, but it is honoring the sacredness of every living thing wherever we encounter it, every part of God's good creation. From the fruits and vegetables that are in fields and orchards or on our plates, from the cows and chickens that live on industrial or family farms, to the rivers that run to the ocean carrying all of the residues in the groundwater with them, to the fish and dolphins that still feel the effects of oil spills, to the eagles and sparrows that build nests and seek to feed their families, from the migrant workers and inner city children to the ponderosa pines and lilacs and beetles and worms. Sow for yourselves justice and reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till God may come and rain righteousness upon you. When we reflect on the charge that God gave humanity in Genesis, the very beginning of our sacred story, we must remember that we are called to tend and not to destroy this living planet. And at this time in history, we must go beyond tending to restoring the garden. The letter to the Romans says that all creation groans along with humanity as we wait and long for God's redeeming and transforming work. And God relies on us as co-creators to work for the healing and wholeness of the earth. Planting season is a time of hope. A time of acting in faith, with hard work and dedication, and knowing that even so, the harvest is still dependent on forces that are beyond our direct control. As the seeds depend on sun and rain and room to grow, so our efforts to sow justice and to tend this earthly garden depend on the social environment. And so our work must be paired with prayer and conversations with others to give the best chance for the holy to break forth in our midst with miraculous signs of new life. And so, what are the seeds that we ought to sow? Well, if you haven't already, you could try planting some actual seeds in your garden, or in a pot on your porch or in your kitchen window. Tend a little patch of earth if you can, and enjoy the fruits of your labors, knowing that at least one ingredient in your meals this year will not have traveled the 1,500 miles that is the average for most produce. Or you can buy fruits and vegetables from the farmer's market or from a farm stand or community-supported agriculture, CSA. There's a website called localharvest.org that lists all of those options near you. We can consider how food is produced before buying it. Organic produce, free-range poultry and livestock, when those are options for us. We can contact our local, state, and federal legislators to let them know that we value policies that honor the earth. From farm policy bills at the federal level, to laws that require labeling genetically modified ingredients in food, to local statutes that allow people to keep chickens in their backyard in urban areas. It is allowed in Denver, not yet in Westminster, where I live. During today's potluck, the Green Team invites you to write down those things that you are already doing to care for the earth. We're calling them acts of green. Our hope is that by putting them up in one place, we will be able to see and rejoice in all of the ways that we are already sowing justice for the earth, that we are already caring for the earth by reducing, reusing, and recycling. And it is our hope that as we look at what other people are doing, each of us will take away some inspiration for at least one new way that we can show our care for creation. A pastor named Randy Frazee has observed that when we think about change, we often delay moving in the new direction due to the mistaken notion that while things may not get better, they certainly won't get any worse. Planting season is for a limited time only. The opportunity to make change in how we care for the earth and in the earth's ability to sustain life will not last forever. As we seek to more faithfully care for God's good creation, we find that there are no easy answers to the problems before us. But we cannot afford to be discouraged by the difficulty of the task or the apparent slowness of progress at times. There's a Chinese proverb that teaches, "The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now." We can learn from the past, but we cannot change it. So we must do what we can now to plant the seeds that God has entrusted to us. Let us be gardeners of Eden and harvesters of hope, that we may make the most of this planting season, sowing justice for the earth and all people and creatures, reaping God's steadfast love and faithfulness, and sharing the fruit of abundant life with all of creation. Amen.